I'm very pleased to have the honor to drive you to actual current market developments before lunch. So I hope you will find it exciting, and you find yourself also in this environment, as you are, I assume at least, also a user of media in all kinds. And we have heard in this morning already the setup, the constraints, and you will see also some references to the previous presentation of Professor Porter. If you go into this market environment, if you look what happens around you, you see that your pure customer is facing a pretty extensive, heterogeneous, you may also say, a kind of confusing environment. So typically he's in a very different context where he wants to use media. So the living room is complemented by the office, on the road, movements, portability, in the greens, somewhere where you are around, in the car typically also. And besides that, you have a lot of devices around you. Well, you have the television set in your living room, you have a PC, you have a smartphone, a mobile phone, you have maybe your kids have a game station, you have a MP3 players. So you have a vast majority of different devices around you. And then, as we have heard already, there are a lot of different services around there. So we have basically focused on the traditional linear broadcast. We discussed already the non-linear offerings, the online portals, video on demand, catch-up TV. But we have even much more besides that. You have something like user-generated content, you have digital cinema, you have Blu-ray, you have interactive services, time-shifting, social communities. So there's much more in this arena on services which you typically, or at least market segments, tend to use and associate with media. If you look once more into the details of your devices, you see that a really, really huge set of devices are able to handle media from a consumer perspective. Well, the most obvious is radio and the TV set, but don't forget something like set-top boxes, your game consoles, home media centers, even digital cameras are today able to play back, capture and play back media in various kinds. And also CD, DVD player, Blu-ray players are today connected to the internet to get additional content on the on your device set. Navigation devices play back media. And even printers are nowadays connected to the internet and are able to print web pages. So it's really straightforward. There is a large range of devices able to handle media in various kinds. If you look in those devices, you can see, say, well, we have certain categories of devices. You have cameras, you have TV sets, you have smartphones, you may have even MP3 players, set-top boxes, game consoles. And within these categories, you have a lot of various devices around you, from budget basically to premium. Let's look at the TV set. You have very cheap ones, and you have really, really expensive large ones with a lot of features. If you look in the mobile phone environment, the same. Cameras the same, set-top boxes the same. So if you look what differentiates those devices, it's basically the feature set. So some are more less capable, others are more capable, have more features, some can be connected to the internet, others not, some have a PVR included, others not. However, if you look around, all devices can handle media. And media does not stand for broadcast. Media stands for audiovisual, some kind of content which is flying around there. So media handling capabilities is a core feature of all those devices. And what you see also in the market right now, if you go like in a retail shop and you look in the shelf spaces, you get kind of confused. Well, this is a smartphone, it can be, but it can also be used as an MP3 player. Then you have a netbook, which can be also used for playback of video, and maybe even connected to a DVB-T stick and go now play broadcasting. So a clear assignment of devices to categories gets more and more difficult. We have new devices entering. Good examples are the iPhone, well, designed as a mobile phone, but I think most are using only less than 50% just for communication. More of 50% is using for internet and all these fancy applications on iPhone. Essentially, it turns in a computer, in a net internet device. And the next story is about the iPad. You may have read about it, which is able to do all the fancy stuff. No one really thought about what it can be used for. However, in 1.5 months, 1 million devices have been sold alone in the US. So it shows you there are devices coming out which attract consumers, and diversification of devices. And what I think is very important, devices are sold based on their design. So it is really an emotional factor why people buy designs, devices. And this will, to my mind, drive further on the diversification of devices. Besides the high market pressure of manufacturers on those devices, so the margins in the CE environment are typically very low. So you have really to bring up new devices permanently to attract customers to buy new ones. The side effect of this is the life cycle of those devices shrinks. If you have bought a television set, let's say in the 70s, it lasts 20, 25 years. Today, if you buy a smartphone, a mobile phone, well, the subscription is 24 months. A lot of the average time life cycle of a mobile phone is 15 to 18 months. So you see here the huge difference. New TV sets are expected to have a lifespan of 5 to 7 years. So you see how the driving of the C industry changes the whole market environment. The next step is that the devices, as I said, can be used in different ways. And a TV set is not anymore a TV set out there. A TV set is, well, a monitor which is able to display graphics, video, and audio, and give playback audio. So broadcast is just one application on those devices, besides being able to connect to the internet, to connect to DVD player, Blu-ray player, playback some kind of media takes through home networking devices, or connect game consoles, home media, so you have a USB plug, you can directly plug into your video camera or digital camera. It is being used for communication control, and I think which is seriously coming up is a whole story about home control, home automation in terms of smart energy. So you need somehow a device, a display, which is able to give you information about the status of your energy state in the home. So the device is actually not anymore a broadcast receiver. It is needed for other applications far beyond the broadcast environment. The next step, if you look in the network infrastructure, you see exactly the same story. In the old, so-called old times, left lower corner, we had terrestrial transmission, purely broadcast-oriented, and which were established in the market for a long, long time. And if you look there with the digitization beginning in the 90s, the number of network features or kinds of networks exploded. We are talking about alone in the terrestrial domain, we have a lot of different acronyms running, flying around. Nobody really knows what they mean. Every network operator tries to sell them differently. So you have radio networks, TV networks coming up. You have in the cable quarks, broadband cable networks, new generations coming up in the satellite environment. And also you have nowadays communication networks in different kinds, which are highly capable for various purposes. So in the mobile networks and in the fixed networks, we are talking about the so-called ADSL, VDSL. In the broadband initiative of the German government, we are talking about fiber to the home, so providing 50 megabit and more to the home. And, well, a hot debate is also about these LTE networks in the mobile environment coming up, providing much more capacity to the consumers. confusion for the consumers, exploitation from the market participants to bring services on those networks. And this has an effect, what happens in those networks. Because the networks, at least the fixed networks, converge in kind of universal networks. You may find in your letterbox, in your mailbox, advertisements, triple play, from the telcos and from the broadband cable operators, telling, I can provide you every kind of service out of one hand. Telecommunications, broadcast, internet. And if you put them next to each other, because they're different types, you basically don't find any difference. Same service, more or less same price. So the important part here is the networks, what has been a purely communication network, transforms and includes kind of media broadcast services. Networks designed, built for broadcast services, the broadband cables, transform or add communication services to it. So basically they try to become universal networks, general purpose networks. The effect, what happens there from the business perspective is the network operators gets a much more and much more important role here because he controls all services being offered. He has his portal and he tells you what you can do on this network. Also, he has a direct relationship with you as a customer because he sells you the contract and he sells you the packages of the various kinds of service offerings. And he has a control over the network, so he basically is in charge and in control how that service are delivered to your home. We talk here about so-called managed networks. What happens in the mobile environment? So the terrestrial, mobile, wireless environment. Also, we see here the same evolution. They transferred from a purely communication-oriented network from GSM today in data networks. So the bandwidths we discuss today in those mobile networks are that we speak about, well, in the market space, 14 megabit, which is much more today than some of our we have in fixed line internet connections. This is the market reality what I speak about here. The next generation will provide even higher capacity. And the current networks are designed for data traffic, not for communication. Communication is the side effect of it. So what you see in your contracts and your offerings is they sell you a kind of a flat rate to the network. So mobile networks provide you kind of a flat rate access. Well, if you read carefully through the contract, you'll find it's not really a flat rate. Typically, you have to get a cap at 5 gigabyte or 10 gigabyte of per second or slow down of your traffic if you reach that amount. So various kinds. So it's basically what we term a fair usage policy in those networks. And what you see also how the networks are used, the same story as we have in the fixed line networks, they are used for all kinds of services. And mobile networks are today already dominated by user demand for media. Video media, personalized video media, is the major utilization of mobile networks today. So it's on-demand streaming, basically. And if you look in the mass distribution, although this is offered in mobile networks, however, the story here for mass distribution is not that easy because it basically breaks the capacity of the networks and is brings them to the borders where they can really offer it. Maybe some of you have experienced and tried out the Bundesliga offering by T-Mobile. Some instances it works, some not. The very important part here is in this mobile environment, from a technology, you can solve a lot. But behind it, from now looking at the broadcasters to it, there's much more to consider it. It is more about anonymity. Are you known? Where is your service? What is the service coverage? What is the guarantee of a service? How much do you have to pay for that service? So you have to take much more into account when you speak about, well, mobile broadband, solve your future. So it's not that easy. And it's not always, I would say, even possible. I want to go even now a little bit in one step ahead. So we have different means of providing services. You have internet, you have broadcast, you have kind of on-demand services. We are used to have for all these kind of networks different devices. Now the convergence gets even one step ahead, and the digital dividend discussion will drive this even further. So you are used to have a mobile phone connected to a mobile network to use it in a mobile environment, right? So if this is your phone and you look at the small screen. But what happens next is that this mobile phone is your central gateway to media access in your home, because you can connect this home, mobile phone to your TV set. So the convergence gets even one step ahead. What is a mobile phone now? A set-top box, a communication device, an MP3 player, a computer, internet device? No one knows exactly. So it is basically a universal device, and this is driven by business interests. The mobile operators are basically more in competition to fixed network operators and try to provide the services. And to my mind, they have even a good story behind it. Who has ever tried at home to set up a home network, wireless LAN network? I would say, to some extent it works. You have some difficulties depending on your neighborhood. And if you're living in a rental apartment, you may have even conflict with your neighbors. So it's not really straightforward. So in a mobile network, you may be even able to provide it much easier and in a controlled fashion. So this is also one of the stories behind the digital dividend discussion. Now, the third step, looking at the services, and I think this gets really interesting. Looking from a traditional perspective on it, we have the traditional broadcast services, radio, TV, which is actually more than just an audio-video stream with additional information, complementing services. It is really easy to use. There's one outlet in your wall, plug it in, works. So basically, as a consumer, I basically do not have to care at all about technology and aspects and configuration. And this, you press a button, immediately it comes up, you can watch it and hear it. And what you are also used as a consumer to the broadcast service is it's reliable, it is always good quality, and you can use it at home and on the move. So it's really a very, very attractive service package along the home line from the content and also on the usage experience behind it. And what we have in the discussion today, so the service are offered beyond linear offerings to non-linear on various kinds of devices, in the car, in the mobile phones, on the laptops, whatsoever. So we basically complement linear programs by non-linear elements, so in order to be able to reach the consumers in their actual current context. But live will continue to play an important role. At least the current market figures show that. So what happens now in the second world for now, the internet? Again, more than 50% of the traffic, sometimes they claim 75 to 80% even, is media oriented. So the media, actually the video content, drives the utilization of the broadband networks. And if you look in the pages around there, you get basically all kinds of services. It starts from something like iTunes, where you can purchase content, you can download content, you get streaming content, you get live internet services, live video broadcast service internet. You get it on basically all devices which are able to connect to the internet. And if you look in the portals from any agency, so the news portals, whoever provides content in the internet utilizes media. Far outside the broadcast environment, if you look, for instance, here in the example of Spiegel, you go into it, you find video. So video is a core element of web pages, and basically this drives the demand of the internet also. This in mind, so internet and media in the internet is highly attractive. We are facing a problem. This content is currently only addressable and usable on, well, internet devices, PCs, smartphones, netbooks, so on, but not on television sets. Most of the content originates from professional production sites, so from the broadcasters. So it basically needs to get back to the screen. And this has been exploited or is currently being exploited by the CE manufacturers, in particular the TV manufacturers. They build so-called connected TVs. They have, besides your DVB plug, an internet plug. Then you have on your remote control a button saying internet, whatever, Yahoo, or whatever is written on it. And what pops up is a portal like here on those portals of the different manufacturers. In this portal, you find all kinds of internet services. Amazon, eBay, Facebook, Twitter. Nothing to do with podcasts, nothing to do with traditional media. Well, it goes back to YouTube for the provisioning. And, well, occasionally you find small icons from public service providers. The decision which services are on those portals is purely by the manufacturers. They decide what you get, kind of access you get here. And also what you see on the Samsung screen is maybe a good example. The screen is not anymore a broadcast screen. So the various applications coming up to the device, they are going to share the screen. Here in that case, the Yahoo widget dock overlays the current broadcast stream on the right hand where it says Samsung and Yahoo widget. So basically, something happens on the screen and it is not anymore controlled by the content provider. We can drive it one step further. What happens actually in the market, today in the market, not sometime in the future. The iTunes, which we know as a music portal, has changed to a media portal because you get a lot of media video content there, series, TV episodes, even professional content you can purchase there. And Apple is about to close exclusive contracts with agencies for content, sports agencies, for instance. And they aim for providing this content to their new iPad because it is designed for a portable, nice screen, very good handling, and very good usage for media consumption, TV consumption, on the knees in your living room. Exactly that scenario with young people are having today. Typically, the young people are sitting in the living room. Well, the TV is running, but on the knees, they have the laptop. And this is exactly the scenario which Apple tries to target. But they have not anymore the laptop, but an iPad. On the iPad, running all the media content from contracts. And the next story is about Google. Well, we know Google as a search engine. They are very highly capable of data mining and storing and searching large archives about what happens, what are the interests. They have today already offerings for TV ads. So Google is earns money from advertisement. Actually, it's a global company, not only focused on national markets. What they have started in April is a TV search. So you can now search in Google in the TV search for episodes, for actors, for programs, providing you the access to that content which is in the internet, which is offered by the broadcast station in the internet. What they are going to do now is they're building a set-top box, the Google TV box, which is basically, well, here are from the internet taken some pictures. It's basically most likely Android as an operating system. It's a Chrome browser. In the Chrome browser, you have all the nice features of TV ads, TV search, the Google portal, the Google-controlled applications, and this basically is your access to the media world and, well, at a small icon, also broadcast world. This is going most likely to be launched this year in the U.S., and I expect, as I rate Google, you will see it next year also in Europe. And Google has money. So what can the broadcasters do about it? The issue is here that you have basically two worlds. You have the broadcast world, and you have the internet world, your portals to the TV screen. The broadcasters need some kinds of means to drill through all these toll stations along the ways, from service providers, portal operators, network operators, software manufacturers, what else all around the way. And what we do already, the broadcasters have online content, and they try right now to get somehow on these portals. Well, this is a pure business relationship. There's no discussion about must carry and so on. This, well, this is a direct relationship about attractive content and on a business term. So the only way, I think, and the broadcasters worldwide actually think, is we need to seamlessly tie both worlds together. So we are not anymore talking about connected TVs, but what we term hybrid devices, where you get a seamless usage experience of the service. And the consumer is not anymore clearly differentiating between what is a linear program, what is a non-linear program, because bottom line, he does not care. He wants the service, he wants the content at the moment where he sits in front of the TV screen. So what you need to do basically to tie your broadcast link to the internet link closely together. And this is a development which currently takes place in the market space. And most interestingly, that's the reason why I want to stress that one, is this kind of activity is not only German one or German-French one or European one. This is worldwide activities of broadcasters. So I had extensive discussions at NAB in the U.S., and we figured out the same happens in South America, in Japan, in Asia, in Australia. So they all, and I would say it's the last call to establish those technologies to be able to control my nonlinear offerings, because otherwise I have only one access to the customer. It's through portals. So we have to establish those technologies. The term, what we try actually to establish in the market, together with an European industry initiative, is what we call HBBTV, Hybrid Broadband Broadcast TV. And here you get an example from ARD, how it could look like to get this seamless experience of in this environment, which does not require that the consumer has to go through portals. It is left to the control of the broadcast station. And I want also to raise the issue, it is not interest for the consumer if this is internet or linear broadcast. He wants to get the service and the content. And you get basically a brand, a homogeneous branding of the various service elements you may offer. On the left side, a new form of teletext, kind of an EPG, the catch-up TV on the lower part, kind of a current news Tagesschau, and you can use that also for radio programming for the visual elements here. I think it's really important that you get a seamless experience in order to control your brand in this environment. So, what does it mean if you try to conclude? So we are coming also in terms of our regulation, of our thinking, from a world where we had dedicated networks and dedicated devices, which are basically a foundation for our broadcast license fees. Then we moved into the environment, well, we have kind of new broadcast receiving devices. Basically, what we discussed were PCs, smartphones. In Germany, we had the Rundfunkänderungsstaatsvertrag for that one. And if I now look in the world, there are no any more clear device classes. This, to my mind, is gone. Internet and media are commodities. Media does not stand for broadcast. Media consumption is commodity, and it goes even one step further. So if you look, like, for instance, in GameStation, the DVD players, they can't play handle media at all. They cannot get connected to the internet. So there are even games out there today which connect to the internet and download the most recent song and integrate it in the current game. So very interesting for the consumer. Causes a lot of questions to the regulatory framework. Concluding, so the device heterogeneity will increase and continue to increase. However, audiovisual media is becoming a commodity feature. The boundaries from the perception of the consumers between linear and nonlinear services blur. It will more and more be difficult to differentiate what is happening there outside. And my personal opinion, from a consumer perspective, he should not care about it. Broadcast services are much more than audio-video streams. They are already today, and they must be able to extend this complete service set also in this new age. We are changing the whole market infrastructure, the whole market mechanism changes dramatically. We are used to think in national broadcast markets. But these national broadcast markets get under competition of global players. And the global players are global CE industry and global internet companies. They're offering and replace lists by portals and search mechanisms. And they offer in their services a combination of communication, media, and also Web 2.0, so community building. The communities are an extremely important element in this to create, you find your buddies. And the broadcasters lose control of the screen. So from my point, as the last point from a broadcast perspective, so the brand of the broadcasters become extremely vital. If you want to get your content out to the consumers, your brand must be known. You must somehow visible in the brain. And this requires, to my mind, attractive and competitive service in the market space, encompassing all tools, utilities which are out there in order to provide those attractive services. So thank you for your attention. I hope I have stimulated a little bit the discussion.